This episode is sponsored by Lockheed Martin. At Lockheed Martin, veterans are at the center of everything they do. In fact, one in five of their employees has served in uniform. Lockheed Martin is proud to help men and women like you successfully transition into civilian careers. Join Lockheed Martin and you will find opportunities to take on the same kind of long-term, challenging assignments you tackled while in the military. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, Lockheed Martin's Military Connect is your online community for professional support. You can find out more at lockheedmartin.bravenew.com. That's lockheedmartin.bravenew.com. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. Today is episode number 217 with Malachi Scott.
You could find a path through cyber. I honestly believe that. There are so many opportunities out there right now, and the deficit right now, I think the number was that I did research in the summer was 2 million openings right now, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the training path right now, we are not filling how many people we actually need. So it's just the number of openings are just going to keep growing.
Malachi went from the infantry into cybersecurity without any background in cybersecurity. In this interview, we talk about federal jobs in general and why veterans should consider a career in cybersecurity. Malachi also managed to get a tremendous amount of education debt-free and talks about all the veteran resources he used to do this. We talk about all the fields inherent in cybersecurity and the 2 million job openings anticipated in this field. As always, at beyonduniform.io, in the show notes, you'll find links to all the different things that we cover. And in this interview, we talk about a lot of different resources, so check out those show notes. You'll also find a link to our coaching sessions, which are subsidized one-on-one meetings with career coaches and executive coaches in a 6-part series designed to help you identify your values, your career goals, and figure out what your next career move is, whether you're in the military right now or whether you've been out for years. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Malachi. Joining me today in Washington, D.C. is Malachi Scott. Malachi, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for listeners, I wanted to give some quick background. Malachi serves as program analyst with the Cybersecurity Education and Awareness Branch in the Office of Cybersecurity and Communication, or CSNC, U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Before his current assignment with the Department of Homeland Security, he was an IT Pathways intern with Seeker. Prior to working for the Department of Homeland Security, Mr. Scott served as an analyst in the Executive Officer of the President at the White House. Previously, Malachi served as the Operations Maintenance Chief at Tobihana Army Depot. He has also served in the U.S. Army and is currently serving in the Pennsylvania National Guard as an infantryman. Malachi has graduated from University of Western Florida with a graduate technology certificate. He also holds a Bachelor of Science and 2 Associates of Applied Science degrees from Thomas Edison State University. He also holds an Associates of Applied Science degree from Hagerstown Community College and holds an Associates of Science Technology degree from Penn Foster College. He also holds a Diploma Nursing. Maybe to start things off, could you share, especially for if someone was on active duty, how would you explain to them what you do for a living right now?
Yes. Well, basically what I do right now, I was picked up with DHS as an intern, as you were stating, and then converted. I basically do outreach, almost the same thing that you do. I outreach to veterans, active duty personnel. We're trying to hit spouses as well to try to get them into cybersecurity field. There's such a rotation of people retiring or getting out and looking for positions, and they've tasked me with reaching out and getting the information for free training that we offer to veterans.
And so when you, I guess the first thing I think of is when you are maybe talking to a veteran, what's your pitch? Like, why should a veteran consider a career in cybersecurity?
Well, from what my colleagues always tell me, I guess my story is a unique story, so it's always best to just speak from the heart. So for myself, I was medically retired for about 4 or 5 years, and I was injured, and I was on TDRL, and I was actually contracting with DynCorp and was looking for security training, but it actually was a different type of training that I was looking for, and FedBC popped up, and it was free cybersecurity training. And basically what I did is I started with the base courses that we offer, and just pretty much I saw the income. It pretty much, when I searched it, it said like you can make $116,000 a year average with cybersecurity. And for me, and I know a lot of my friends who are getting out, you're pretty much, you're comfortable usually, and you're not looking for a position that you're going to take a hit even with your retirement. So for me, it was a career field that financially stood out to me. So I just started taking the initial courses on there and just learned through that process. And I suggest that it's free. So FedBC is free. So for me, for veterans or active duty personnel that are getting out, if you log on and just take the courses, you don't have, there's no deadline. You're not using any of your tuition assistance. You know, you can take a course at your own speed. You can do it from a computer, a laptop, a phone, any pretty much mobile device as well. So for me, that was very convenient, especially being overseas at times. There wasn't anybody tracking the stuff I was doing. And if I didn't like it, I could just skip a course. Since there's such a variety of courses, it allowed me to kind of pick and choose where I wanted to go in the cyber field, because at the time I had no knowledge. I was infantry, I was an engineer before that. So the computers were the last thing that I thought I could even do, let alone be okay at, I would say.
That's great. I mean, I think that what is encouraging in that example is it's not like in the military you were focused on this. It wasn't like that was your background. So to hear that you went from the infantry into this sort of work, I think it demonstrates for listeners, like, it's not like there's any required prerequisites in the military to be a candidate for this sort of work.
Right. And that's my biggest push. I make the joke of, you know, the funny comments about infantry, you know, or the dumb people and stuff like that. So I was playing on that for myself that, you know, even though you read off quite a few, it's exhausting for me whenever you're reading my education background. That is not me at all. Anybody who knows me, like, I'm the type of person that, yes, I graduated college after, and I only graduated when I was on medical retirement. I was able to focus and do nursing and did a couple courses at the same time, but I hate to use the word, like, an educated person in the sense of when it comes to schooling. Even in my mindset, I'm still not. But when I got into, I was mechanical and I was good with my hands. And kind of when I got into some of the cyber stuff, like the coding and the different things, it is a lot of typing. But you're figuring things out with your hands. Your mind is thinking the same way. So for me, I was able to pick up on it when I kind of put my judgments down on, oh, this is like computer work, because it really wasn't. It was more hands-on work with the computer, if you use that terminology. Like, and A-plus was one of the first courses I took, and that's all taking computers apart and putting them back together, and that's kind of where I got the knack for it. And then you just do simple things to log on, and once you get used to that, and most generations now that are in the Army from when I went in to now, you are somewhat tech-savvy, whether you accept it or not. If you have a smartphone, you probably know more about things than you actually realize you do, whether it's updating technology or resetting your phone. You know, a lot of problems can be solved just by resetting a computer. So
that's awesome. And one of the questions I had was, you know, just given your background, you alluded that the all these different degrees you have in different subjects, teaching, nursing, applied sciences, did you use any veteran resources to help out with that education, or any recommendations for vets about that?
100%. I can proudly say that I have zero debt for my education. All my degrees and my nursing, I have zero debt because I've used every single aspect. I've used my PA, the state and federal. I've exhausted my Montgomery GI Bill, the 9/11, and I also, my cybersecurity degree, I used the Voc Rehab because I was at the time an intern, so you can't work full-time, obviously, but you can work as an intern. So I've hit every single aspect of the training, I mean, of the educational benefits. And it was, once you kind of enroll and you start the classes, obviously, if you're active duty, you might know this about the federal tuition assistance. So that's pretty much simple. Everything's online now. It's, you pick out your class, you pick out the program you're taking, and it pretty much goes from there. The VA, it's a little different. You sometimes, and now it's all electronic. So I'm sorry, I'm thinking back when I started, you had to submit all the paper, but now papers. So now it's all on va.gov, the e-benefits. So you just register, and they're going to pay for everything. And I had my books paid for. I had all my tuition paid for. And then, of course, you have the GI Bill, the housing allowance, which was great. So I was able to, when I was medically retired, I was able to take advantage of all those. And I'm proud that I don't have 1 ounce of debt, and I used it. And I have a lot of friends that I always push that, you know, it's just a wasted, it's a free benefit that a lot of people waste. And I push when I'm out there talking to people that, hey, use your VA benefits. Even if you don't want to go to college and you do cybersecurity, the certs, the certificate that you have to take for some of the programs, like you want to get your certificate to show you really know what you're doing, not just take the course, the VA is going to pay you. They might pay it up front if you submit it, or they might pay the cert after you take it up to maybe 2 or 3 times. So it's just time consuming, but it's worth it. Instead of coming out of pocket $5 to $1,000 for a test, just submit the paperwork, and you can wait to take the test once the VA pays you. And sometimes they'll just pay the test directly and give you the code, or if you financially can, take the test and then submit the voucher. I was very lucky, and I kind of dived into educational benefits and made sure I used every aspect I could, so I didn't have a debt. My sister had went to Penn State, and I remember she had left there with, you know, $50,000 to $60,000 worth of debt, and she had a scholarship. She's a Division I athlete, and I was like, I didn't have any debt, so I made sure that I followed every path and every advice that any educational advisor gave me while I was in the military.
That's really extraordinary to have that much education and have all the books and classes and everything covered. I imagine, like you said, it sounds like it's an extra, extra burden to be able to just go through all the logistics of it, but to emerge debt free is so incredible and just kind of takes that financial pressure off of you. So you're not starting your job and just sinking it into paying off a massive debt.
Yes, 100%. And the one thing that came out that I'll touch on, it's called temporary disability waiver. If they look up that in Google, I apologize, I don't know the exact website. I should have. If you have a medical, or if you have a school balance from tuition assistance or financial aid, and you have a disability, I think it's above 30%, they just started waiving. So if you didn't, or you maybe exhausted all your benefits and you still have some debt out there, if you are above 30%, they are now waiving your benefits. And I apologize, I don't have that direct information, but I ended up searching it by somebody telling me about it, and it was just temporary disability waiver, and it popped up right away.
Awesome. And for listeners, I'll add a link in there for the temporary disability waiver so you can find that. What about, could you talk to us about the Cybersecurity Education and Awareness Branch of the Office of Cybersecurity and Communication? I know that's a very long title, but I'm trying to paint the picture of if someone listening was interested in this sort of career path, what their day-to-day life looks like, what the potential roles are that they could take on, and just things like that to give them a better sense of what this looks like.
Yeah, so I went into cybersecurity, I guess to hit on it right before. I went into cybersecurity because I was dealing with some things and I just wanted to be alone. So I figured on top of it being a good career path to make money, I was going to sit behind a computer and I was going to search for bad guys and do all this IT stuff. And I was kind of going to be left alone. And I kind of, at that point in my life, that's what I wanted. I served my time. I was dealing with some things, and that's kind of a career path. I knew I wanted to work again, and I found the career path in this route. But when I got picked up, in this outreach in CENA. So what our goal is, and it's a cyber career, it's not just you're going to be sitting behind a computer. If you take some of these courses and get this knowledge, you could be in a position like I am. I do outreach. So I do veterans outreach. We have a awareness branch, and we have a Fed VTE, outreach programs. We have different programs that were forward-facing to the community and trying to get as many people as we can to know about cybersecurity, to protect themselves, to protect their family, protect their kids. So for my specific task is for veterans. It's outreaching, and you have to have some type of cyber background because you get questions, but it's all forward-facing. I get to talk to you. I get to go out to hiring events and bring people to think of a different route. Like, I've been to a few events, and there's 300-400 soldiers that are getting out, and they just don't know what they're going to do. It's funny because it's from lieutenant colonels. I've had lieutenant colonels come up to me, full birds to down to E4s, come talk to me about, hey, how can I get into this field? Like, I was a mechanic, I was an MP, I was this, I was that. Like, I want to step into something, and I've maybe heard through the grapevine of different opportunities out there in cyber, but I don't know how to do it. So my job in cyber is to reach that group of people that do not know, and some that do know. Like, you have the Signal Corps that are fully aware of what we do, but they're still getting that extra free training. But my biggest push and my passion is the MOSs that are out there that you can't really transition. I mean, I know on the cool website for me, when I was getting out, it was like I could be a manager of like various companies. And I was like, well, that's great, but that's not really helping me with a career path. Where cybersecurity, I can say, hey, here is a career path. You can take these courses for free, and that's my biggest push. Your goal, your carrot at the end of the stick is you could be making this much money. You know, it's 99% of the people are getting job offers, if not 100%, once they take some of this training and get the certifications, and you can step into a career that you kind of feel good about yourself. Like, I feel great. Like, even though I didn't necessarily want to be forward-facing, I thoroughly enjoy what I get to do, and there's just multiple different routes. So on our side, it's about outreach and talking to people and making them aware of cybersecurity and the threats that are out there as well. We talk about various different things and how you can prevent them. And we have a educational outreach that reaches out to schools and community colleges and various different departments in education to try to get the teachers to teach on some of the stuff we offer. So we have a wide outreach, basically, and I would say it's pretty much outreach and awareness of cybersecurity. I'm just geared towards the veterans themselves.
Do you think that those materials, and first of all, the courses you mentioned, you said that those are completely free. Is that right?
They're 100% free. We offer 60 plus courses on FedVTE, and they are all free. Some of the courses, they're almost like boot camps. They're like training that a lot of courses will give you a completion certificate, but then you need to maybe go to CompTIA and take like the A plus, Security plus, or Network plus. Because some companies want to see the actual cert, not that you just took the course, they want to see the cert. But then a lot of the courses we have are, they're training you how to do this stuff. And in my case, I started with just A plus. And I printed it out. I didn't take the CompTIA plus, but I had the course on FedVT and got hired. Because when I was teaching, I taught for a little bit, and I decided, I didn't want to continue teaching. And I got hired as an IT person within the school. And it's just there's so much stuff out there that even though you might not want to do cyber stuff, that on FedVTE, it all falls under cyber now. A lot of stuff does. So the IT support, kids would just bring me their computers, and I'd reset their computers or flash their hard drive, which was literally putting a USB that said Google Chrome on it, on the computer, restarting it, loading it, and then give it back to their computer. So that's what I sat and did, and that was my first IT job. And I learned it through FedVTE, and it didn't cost me a dime. I didn't have to take the cert at the time. So it's a lot of the courses, you can just learn everything you need to know, and companies will pick you up that way. Then there are some, we're very much honest in the sense there are some courses that, like Security Plus I'll use, CompTIA, they want you to have that cert. So we don't provide that cert for you, but we provide that $10,000, $5,000 training to you for free that if you go on the outside, you might get a veteran's discount of maybe $3,000 for the course where we're giving it to you straight for free. And then once you take our course, you're prepped to be able to take the actual exam.
Do you think that let's say if someone were to sign up and take some of these courses, do you think that that's a good indication of whether they would like this as a career? Like if they're, if they enjoy the material, if they enjoy what they're learning, does that indicate that this would be an appealing career path for them?
That's a hard question to answer. I'll speak from my side. When I was doing it, when I started with the First A Plus course, it was kind of like, man, I'm sitting in class again, and the A Plus course was teaching you how to take apart the computer and put it back together and how to connect the computer. Stuff that most people have done don't even realize that they have done. They've hooked up a monitor to their computer. So that's one of the tasks. Until I actually got the hands-on computer and bought an extra one myself and started doing it, that's when I started enjoying it. So there's the opportunity that you don't have to buy anything, and you can kind of just watch, and it walks you through everything. So it's going to be up to the person. But I feel that if you can grasp it, that's what's going to count. If you're going through there, and I was grasping stuff, I thought, okay, this all makes sense, where that's going to give you that, oh, okay, I can do this. Maybe I want to go further. So that would be my advice. If they would actually log on and they can grasp what they're doing and kind of can hang in there, I think that is a good sign that, hey, this might be the path for you. Because it's going to diminish a lot of the negativity that I had going into, because I'm like, I'm not an IT person. I'm not a signal person. I'm not an IT. I don't know how to do all these things. But it teaches you at a really good pace. You can either follow along by the professor on the video. Well, you have to do that no matter what, but there's also a PDF. So I'm going to tell you first, and I print the PDF because I'm old school. I want the paper in my hand as I'm reading along. So I was able to read along and watch the professor and do the task that they would give you in another screen on my computer. So I would suggest that if they can get through that and they can maintain it, just give yourself a chance, I would say, to see if you can kind of follow along, because that's going to be your telltale sign. If it's just straight not for you, then it's not going to be for you.
And any other thoughts on, as someone's listening, maybe they've got a year left on active duty, they're trying to figure out what to do when they get out. Any other thoughts on why they may either like this career path, or maybe even reasons why they may dislike it, just to help them get a sense of if this might be the job they're looking for?
And to be all honest, even though this is my program, so obviously I'm pro for it, but the dislike is hard to say, just because you can do so many different things. You can do so many different things with these trainings. Literally, I was sitting in a room just reflashing computers. There are state jobs, there's school districts hire a ton of IT people all the time, and you're getting all this training for free. So disliking it would be kind of, because you could be heading one way like I was. I wanted to be a certified ethical hacker. I wanted to be the guy behind the computer that no one knew, searching for, and it ended up I'm an outreach person. So it kind of, I think that no matter what you want to do, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be someone who's facing forward like I am, you could find a path through cyber. I honestly believe that. There are so many opportunities out there right now, and the deficit right now, I think the number was that I did research in the summer was 2 million openings right now, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because the training path right now, we are not filling how many people we actually need. So it's just the number of openings are just going to keep growing, and they're in so many different paths. So I would search, if you don't know what you want to do, maybe if you want to be a teacher, well, there's courses that you can learn on FedVTE that you could be a computer teacher. Now, you still have to go be a computer. You have to go through the educational system and get your teaching certificate, but that computer science teacher, there's a lot of cyber courses on there that can train you and help you with your job. So I would say, whatever, if you don't know what you're doing, definitely do FedVTE. Start out with the intro courses that we have and just see if it's for you. If you kind of have a path and you don't know how to maybe incorporate cyber into it, come to FedVTE, look up some of the courses, or even Google, hey, I want to work for a hospital. And what can I do for cyber that way? That's another huge path. The hospitals all around have huge IT and cyber departments because of HIPAA and all the violations that they have to protect from, and people hacking into their systems, or just the normal IT support that you can learn on FedVTE.
That makes me realize, I think of these functional roles, and I'm like, okay, well, almost every company, they've got people in the finance department and operations and customer support and, these kind of well-worn paths. And what I'm realizing when you're saying that is that we are headed towards that there being a standard like cybersecurity group as well. Like it just seems like this is going to be an essential component of certainly like the healthcare companies that you mentioned, but I imagine any large organization is going to need something in cyber. And so learning this skill set seems like it could be pretty transferable to a variety of industries, all that value someone's ability to know what they're doing to protect people's digital presence and digital information.
Yes, 100%. And it is everywhere. Like, it is from the smallest company. That's the numbers that I've read and have seen. It's amazing how much, if a system goes down for an hour, how much even a small company could lose, thousands to tens of thousands of dollars, just if that company is not up and running for an hour. So to prevent that, they hire cyber professionals. And even though my goal is to try to get people in the field, it's also a great tool just to educate yourself. Let's say you have no desire to be in the cyber world, which is perfectly fine. There are courses on there that just a coding course. There's just multiple courses that you just take just to kind of learn, especially if you, like for myself, having children, like they were way ahead of where I was. And being able to take some courses and kind of learn the backdoor stuff that they don't know about, it's helped me set stuff on their iPads and, different things to control and support, the cyber, aspect of phones, like getting hacked or, somebody doing something, putting something on their phone. I was able to teach myself how to do various things to kind of protect my children. So I would suggest, even if you don't want to necessarily get in the cyber world, there's courses to just educate yourself, and they're free. And there's no time limit. There's no pressure. It's all on you. Once you log on, and even as you log on, it's all on you to either complete or not complete it. But it's everywhere. I agree 100% with you. It's from the biggest companies to the smallest companies. And it's just like, if you heard about the Facebook was down a little bit ago, and they had over 10,000 people on that was in cyber field trying to get it back up and running. 10,000 people. Just in handling one, basically site, and it's just everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's needed everywhere. It's a huge hot commodity, and I know the people I was in school with, it was 100% placement. And these were people with associate's degrees that they were coming out with 100% placement in the workforce. And if you're military, most, and I may be wrong here, but a lot of people are coming in with at least a secret now, where before it was kind of just the standard background check. That's even better. If you have your security clearance already, no matter what your job was before, and you get into cyber, that's just an extra. That's just the icing on the cake for you, because yeah, they might have to rerun background checks, but you're already cleared. So it's and that's even more opportunities if you can get into that side.
Are there any other resources? So let's say someone listening is really excited about this. What other resources would you point them to help them learn more about this space or to even start getting prepared for a career in this?
I'm repeating myself here, but I would direct them to FedVT, because we've updated the site to have like USA Jobs. You can click on a link now that takes you to the opening cyber jobs. So USA Jobs is confusing for a lot of people, and I'm an advocate of USA Jobs, because it's just that patience. It's just taking your time and applying and understand you're looking for a once in a lifetime job with the government. It's going to take 6 months to a year, so just stick with it. But FedVT has a lot of links to take you somewhere. And the NICS portal, it has college benefits if you want to go to college. It has a lot of information on programs that you can take in your area that we update daily, and that's one of my tasks to approve courses on the NICS website. And it's just extra training out there. Now, there are some are free, but some have fees. So I always, again, direct the veterans, because they're qualified. It's veterans, state, local, tribal territories qualify for, and federal employees and state employees qualify for FedVTE, where it's all free. And that's where we have a lot of different routes to take you to on FedVT, that you can learn about schools that offer the training if you want to go to a certified CENA school, which is approved school by DHS, NSA. It's a really good program. One of the schools I went to was approved by them. And they just basically, the NICS website has a ton of information for you to follow different paths, and a ton of information out there for you.
Awesome. And for listeners, I will add links to all of these sites and resources. The show notes will be easy to find them and get there. Well, I always like to keep the leave room at the end to have more open-ended, which is what have we not talked about that you want to make sure listeners know today?
I was very honored that DHS approved this because it's kind of like a crosstalk thing with my personal life or the military side plus DHS, which sometimes it gets tricky. Me personally, the one thing I wanted to hit on was USA Jobs. I was an operations supervisor before. I was very blessed when I was younger to become a supervisor, and I got sent to a lot of training. And, especially in the military community, USA Jobs is almost like a swear word. Like it's just, people just get frustrated. And I tell them to be patient, and detail your resume. And you can create 5 resumes on USA Jobs. So if this is specifically, I guess, for someone who's looking for a federal job. And to remember, a federal job does not mean Washington, D.C. There's federal jobs open all across the country. In IT and cyber, all over the country, there's jobs. That you just take your time. If you're on USA Jobs, create your profile. It's best to do that from a computer or a laptop. It's really hard. You can do it from your phone, but that's pretty much if you have a pre-written resume already. But the resume advice I have for everyone is I always use a mechanic. So a lot of my friends who were trying to apply for maintenance positions, they were skilled, E7, they were the wrench turners to the supervisors, and they couldn't come across the board on the position. Well, it's because they said, hey, I changed tires. So I always use that example. Well, USA Jobs is looking for more than that. They're looking that you put the vehicle on a lift, you use a torque wrench, you changed 4 tires, use these type of nuts, bolts. They're asking you to go in depth. And that's where a lot of people get frustrated because they're like, hey, I did this job right beside a civilian who I'm trying to apply for the job and I can't even get on the list. It's because of the detail. And it's worth it. And you can copy your second resume. They'll do it for you on the website, and then you can edit it. And you want to read the job you're applying for. So, and I always use mechanic, and I don't know why, but there's a light wheel mechanic and heavy wheel. Well, if you're applying for different positions, whether it's an accountant for IRS or an accountant for a different agency, they're going to have different things they're looking for. So take your time to read the job announcement, and then you never lie on your resume. You just have to make sure that if you're going to qualify for the job, you should be able to look at your resume and look at the announcement and say, okay, I do align with this. Just because you're an accountant or just because you're a mechanic doesn't mean that's the type of mechanic they're looking for. So you want to take your time. And I would suggest people have 2 or 3 resumes on there. After you do the first one, it's pretty easy. You just copy it and then edit different sections because it might be looking for someone who's more detailed in one area. And you might have done that, but you didn't detail that in your first resume. Instead of recreating or re-editing one resume every time, you have 1 or 2 resumes out there. And there's tons of opportunity, it's frustrating. I feel a lot of the guys' pains and girls' pains who contact me that, they're like, hey, I applied for it. And I'm like, you just have to go in detail and you have to be patient. It's the hardest thing nowadays is to, especially if you're getting out and hey, I have family, I have responsibility, and, I'm waiting for these jobs and I'm not getting any calls. It's a rough situation. But if you can hold out, there's a lot of great opportunities. And make sure that your resume is right and your veteran preference is right. And if you're getting out, especially, you have 180 days that you can be hired, and they'll hold the position for you. And it's all listed on USA Jobs. A lot of different veteran preferences, and read the veteran's preference too to make sure you're selecting the right one. But USA Jobs is close to my heart too, because I that was one of my first supervisory trainings I had, and I was like, wow, like I didn't even know like how the system worked, and people think it's a bad system, but in reality it's not. They're trying to make sure that before it gets sent to the first person that sees it, that you do qualify based off of standard keywords, which it's frustrating for some people, and especially if you're not good at writing a resume. I would say there's a lot of education centers on base that will help you write resumes. I personally live on a base now as a civilian, and I know that ACS announced constantly that there's resume building writing. There's federal resume builder workshops that they have for civilians and military. It's just take your time and be patient. And my wife always jokes, she's like, Malachi, she's like, as soon as you want to go somewhere, do something, you'll get 5 or 6 offers every month. She's like, literally offers. And my wife was applying and she wasn't getting anything, and getting frustrated. And I was like, well, I'm a type of person though, I'm applying for 50 jobs a month. So I might get, 3 to 4 offers, but it's because I'm applying for 50 to 60 jobs. I'm not just applying, for one. Now it's difficult if you live in, a further out area and there is only one or two jobs and you can't really afford to move somewhere else or commute, that's a situation that's rough. But if you're willing to be open, especially if you're PCSing out and you get that last, PCS to, as long as it's not past your home or record, you can pretty much pick and choose where you want to go. And I would say anywhere you want to go, apply for those jobs. Anywhere you're willing to move to, apply for as many jobs in that career field that you want, so that your name is out there, your resume is out there. And a lot of jobs are hiring one or more people, even though people might not see that. So you might, and they keep your resume, so they might have one or two openings that you don't get the first one, but you might get the second one. It's just be patient on USA Jobs. It's a rough, I feel people's pain, but it is, if you stick with it and you hopefully take the advice, some of the advice I gave, it'll work out. Just stick with it.
I love that sense of being really proactive and applying to 20, 30, 40 jobs a month, and just really, I feel like oftentimes people really underestimate what it takes to get a job that they're going to enjoy. And so going above and beyond, doing more than they think is necessary. And that applies, it sounds like, too, with what you were saying of even explaining your background. And I feel like a lot of times veterans do a poor job of explaining what they did in the military, or they go to the very tactical aspect, like you had said, how I changed tires, rather than I serviced vehicles that kept the military safe, right, or whatever it is, of just putting in the extra polish to actually tell the story, rather than just this is the the nitty gritty of what I did on a day to day basis.
Yes, and it's very hard to, I've with a lot of combat arms, and I'm not saying it's not hard for the other MOSs, but a lot of the programs out there, they gear towards, if you're HVAC, if you're a mechanic, there's a lot of stuff you can get out and go right into. Where a lot of combat arms jobs, to this day on my resume, the infantry stuff is very much reconnaissance. It's very much like the copy and paste job description, because you can't, besides adding leadership in there, there's nothing technical. I can't say, well, I can take a weapon apart this fast. I'm a striker master trainer, so I can train all these different people on different weapons and striker. That's not going to help in a technical field, or a lot of times when you're going for some type of even non-technical position. So it's trying to go to those writers and those services that the Army offer to help guide. And that's where, if you don't have that background, if you take these Fed VT courses, even if you don't take the cert, you can put them on your resume. I completed this. And there's such a high need for cybersecurity. You're taking the initiative of, hey, I'm serious about this. I'm in my mid to late 30s. I was this before. I'm transitioning. I'm taking these courses. And you can present it that way too if you get called for an interview. That, yes, I might not be certified yet, but I'm in this. I've taught myself. I've learned through FedVT. I have these completion certificates. And a lot of people like that. They like, I work with a lot of military personnel, and some of them are IT and some of them aren't. And it's that drive that was instilled in you, that Monday through Friday, that coming to work, working long hours, working hard, and doing what you're supposed to do. They're going to give you that time to grow. And I'm very grateful to the people that fought to bring me on. They've given me that time to learn the tasks that I've been given. And they hopefully see that my military background is helping me push, past where some people might be like, well, they're just comfortable. I'm never going to be comfortable. I want to move up and do as much as I can. And I feel a lot of my military colleagues are like that. And this is a career field that the sky's the limit. There's management positions there. And even if you are, I spoke with a lot of higher ups that they had these manager skills and, E7s and above. And I'm like, hey, take the cyber courses. You're going to have the management. They just want you to have general knowledge of the cyber. So then you can use your leadership skills, and you're going to be managing people, but you're just managing people in the cyber field. Because it's funny that a lot of the cyber people I've met that I admire here, they do not want to be in charge. They want to be behind their computer. They want to do their thing. You talk about supervising people. They're not, it's just the way that the culture is. And then you have these outgoing people. I hate to use that word, but just the people that are more outgoing that are in the supervisor roles because it's what they want to do. And that's a path for, higher ups to get in as well. Take that background, take that training, and your supervisory skills are going to be what they're looking at with that, you know, 1 year or training, because a lot of stuff is volunteer. Like they want you to have a year work or a year volunteer, they count with cybersecurity. So that means you doing your own work at your house, setting up your computers, doing all this training on your own is all going to count.
This is awesome. Well, I appreciate your joining us today for the show. And for listeners, again, in the show notes for this episode, I'm going to add links to all the different resources that we covered and talked about, so it's easy to start this training and check out this as a potential career option. So Malachi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, I appreciate everything that you're doing. And I've watched a lot of your, or heard a lot of your courses, I mean, the things that you put out, and it was amazing. Like, it's a great option. I never even heard of it before, and it's amazing. Like, what you're doing, I just thank you for even giving me the opportunity and all the things you're doing for the soldiers.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our Director of Outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our Data Analytics and Insights Advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you can continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.